Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome to the Women in Leadership podcast. I'm Angie Mazzetti. Well, I'm delighted to be down here in UCC, University College Cork, where we've just had a fantastic discussion about women in leadership and why the world needs more women in leadership. So I'm delighted to be joined by Emma Connolly and Cliona O'Callaghan and Leanne Burke, who are from the Women's Network here at Manaw UCC. You're all very welcome.
Thank you very much, Angie.
So it was a great event today. It was sponsored by the Dutch Embassy, and huge thanks to them and DIBA, the Dutch-Irish Business Organisation. But from Manaw UCC, what did you want to get out of today?
Well, you know what? It's all about talking, networking, raising awareness, and bringing different perspectives together and collaborating so that we can kind of inspire all our own work and get that little bit of motivation going, because it isn't always easy, you know. And I think when you get together as a group like this and everybody's on, you know, fighting for the same cause of why there should be more women in leadership, then it just does the soul good. So I think it was really positive.
A lot of good was done to souls today. Yeah. A lot of important people listening.
Yes, absolutely. We were delighted to have our president here.
He's been a strong supporter, hasn't he?
From the very beginning when we launched here in UCC. And we were very lucky to have been all sponsored to do a Women in Leadership programme back in 2018, 2019.
This is the Aurora programme,
which is specifically for women in higher education. And we loved that programme and got so much out of it, but particularly as a group, you know, and we bonded very much as a group. And when the programme finished and we were so grateful for the opportunity, we didn't want the journey to finish there. So with Emma and Leanne and our colleagues in the network, we founded Manaw at UCC, and it's a women's network all about supporting UCC women in their professional development and also contributing meaningfully to the equality agenda here in UCC.
So thanks very much, Cliona. Emma, what did you get out of today?
So much. I think the absolute importance of listening. All the speakers on the panel said it's so important to really actively listen. And I think today gave us a great opportunity to sit still, to step back for a while, pause and listen to diverse voices. Like on the panel, we had Commander Roberto O'Brien, we had Leia Healthcare, Heineken, different representatives, and really important for us all working in the higher education sector
is
the students.
Exactly,
Ali. The students' voice. I think we need to really listen to the next generation of leaders as well.
Because what we want to do as women is make it a bit easier.
Absolutely.
Than what we had. And our mothers before us had worse.
Absolutely, and support them on their journey.
Actually, one of the things that Ali said was small incremental changes can make a huge difference. Yeah. I thought that was great coming from a young woman, did you?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
I was blown away by that, because I think it can be overwhelming as women to take on the role of leadership, as in that we're carrying it all, you know, we're trying to do everything sometimes. And that can be overwhelming, whereas the small little steps mean so much. And when Ali said that today about kind of inclusive practice, how the little things make a big difference, it's the same in leadership, it's the same for all women. It's the small things that make a big difference.
Yeah. And she also mentioned language, being careful with the language that you use. What did you think of today's event, Leanne?
To be honest, the speaker that spoke the most to me, I felt, was Ali, because like we're used to speaking to women of our own age, we'll say. But to hear a young woman come up and speak about her experiences and her going into a room full of men in suits, didn't she say?
Yeah.
And just having to find her voice. And to be honest, I thought she was inspirational. And I thought, now, my daughter is a little bit younger than her, but if she had half the voice that Ali had, I would be very proud. I thought she was fantastic. What a great young woman. And to hear as well that she's coming from an arts background and the creativity comes out in her. You can hear the social conscience. She was just to be honest, she blew me away. I thought she was fantastic. I've met Roberta before a couple of occasions, and a very impressive speaker as well. And Tom today, I've met him today for the first time. But Ali to me now was she the voice of the next generation. And these are the women that, you know, that we want to hear more of and just hear about their experiences and, you know, and hope that what it was like for us 20, 25 years ago and more, that these things are changing. And I think they are, you know. And I think she still
no
has her challenges.
Representative than Commander O'Brien, you know.
Oh, absolutely.
Even the visuals.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Even the visuals she gave us, you know, being 200 miles or kilometres offshore firefighting on a boat. Like,
I know. Yeah. Incredible.
Literally steering her own ship as well.
Absolutely. Yeah. She's phenomenal.
Yeah. Yeah,
and what a leader. And you know, when women do get into positions of leadership, how they can influence policy for the better for everyone, but particularly for women. Yeah. You know, it was great.
And then the real global outcomes that can have, like Ambassador Coldham mentioned at the beginning, how global GDP would grow if there were more women in leadership. And you know, the real stats there, I think she said 26% of GDP would grow by. And Roberta mentioned as well the, you know, greater peace outcomes, peace negotiations if more women are involved.
Yeah. And that it lasts longer.
And then the business side, Orla from Heineken, head of legal Heineken, talking about the business outcomes, as did Leia, Tom from Leia. So, you know, there's...
Yeah, the facts are
if
there.
If anyone needs to be convinced, the data is there.
That's the business case.
Yeah, absolutely. The figures are there telling us that there are, you know, if anybody is more focused on the financial benefits or the long-lasting impact of peace and so on, the facts are there to show that more women in leadership has that long-term benefit.
Any other major takeaways from you, Cliona, today?
I'm trying to think of something new now because I was also blown away by Ali, but I adore her and the work she does as education officer in here in UCC. So, you know, I was really taken with her. Have to say Roberta O'Brien too, when she spoke about maternity leave and how, you know, in the Navy at one stage it was going to be taken on a case-by-case basis. And like, it's very hard for younger women to even imagine that your maternity leave is in the hands of, you know, someone else, and it's on a case by case basis. And even when she had to apply for, you know, the leave for her, you know, child, when she had her first child, in relation to how long she could stay on land before she had to go out to sea again, and it was a fight and a battle and everything was, you know, and you're just like, my God. And they break the ground for all the rest of us, you know. I have to say I was just blown away by her.
One of the subjects that came up for discussion there, we probably didn't get long enough to explore it, was this bystander intervention and the whole area of violence against women. Even if a woman doesn't experience violence, you're aware that it's there.
Yeah.
And that somebody might come from behind and attack you when you're out for a walk, and you can't relax and enjoy kind of just a walk in the park or a walk around the grounds here.
Yeah.
How important is that bystander intervention?
Critical
training.
Absolutely critical. It's integrated into our curriculum design now here in University College Cork, and a programme led out by Professor Louise Crowley has been expanded across all HEIs in the country, and it's part of their curriculum. So for example, Ali mentioned how, you know, even in the 4 years study that she did, now her friends, younger siblings, are talking about bystander as if it's a very normal part of their everyday life, you know. So that awareness piece is huge, and the education tools and skills that it's providing them to be active bystanders and allies to women. And I suppose, you know, even all of our partners and men in our life still don't realise the fear, the preparation, the mental preparation every day you go out and you prepare for your day based on a risk register. Do you know what I mean? And even walking in the dark and where you walk and all those things still are huge. And look, the figures are there again.
Your peripheral vision is always on, isn't it?
Moving your car to be closer because it will be dark when you come out of the event.
Preparing the narrative. Well, if this happens, what am I going to tell them? What am I going to say? How am I going to scare them away from me? You know, it's just a constant script going through your head. So,
and even before you go out, like you, I write my husband's phone number on my hand.
Yeah.
You know, just if I'm going out for a run or something, I'll just write his number on my hand in case something happens. And, you know, or just simple things like that. But I've had to do that over the years.
Wow.
Yeah, absolutely. I think everyone has to. Well, I think a lot of people might have to do that, carry some kind of ID.
Do you think
like
that will ever change? Because I kind of feel it never will.
I don't think so. I, you know,
it's a limiting
I would be surprised,
factor, though,
yeah.
isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, for women's lives. And then the amount of abuse that young women in particular, well, all women get online, and that is squishing the female voice. And we want to hear more of women's voices, don't we?
Yeah, there is a lot of hope going forward, though. And I think it's important, like Ali finished with that as one of her pearls of wisdom. She said, you know, there's a lot of hope. And for, like, for us, I suppose our general age group, you know, we're maybe slightly cynical at times, but like for her, she's starting her career. She's looking, you know what, there's hope because there's EDI policies in place and these are there to support me now. They weren't in place for a lot of generations that came before her.
Can I move on to just what life is like in the university space for women in leadership? I went into the beautiful grounds here and I walked into the main hall because they were getting ready for graduation yesterday. And I looked up at the walls in the Aula Maxima, is it? Yeah. And it's just men. Paintings of very serious men.
Yeah.
With robes and everything. When are we ever going to see some nice ones of women? There's a project
We've had some interesting ideas of what could be done there.
Good, good. We'll save that for the next one. But what needs to change? Maybe we'll start with you, Emma. What do you think is, or sorry, Leanne?
Well, I don't have the figures at my fingertips, but I know that the higher we progress in our careers, we'll say from lecturer to senior lecturer to professor, that the proportion of women in each of those roles is reduced. It's fairly similar, 50-50 lecturer, female and female. You go into senior lecturer, it reduces, and again, it greatly reduces then up into the professor roles.
And that's not because women don't want it.
No, women do want it. I mean, there are plenty of women that... there's no woman that says she doesn't want it. I mean, we all want to succeed in our careers. We've all worked very hard to get where we are. So we do want to progress.
And to influence as well.
Absolutely. What are these barriers? I'm not 100% sure what the barriers are. Is it like that? It was mentioned earlier on, the maternity leave and the fact that when you go on maternity leave, so you've your 6 months, but there's all the period before and after as well. And does that hinder your career? Do you have to make different choices because you have families at home? There's a lot of other issues there. Whether that's it, whether women are not putting themselves forward for these positions, even though they're well able, perhaps. And again, it was mentioned earlier on, the imposter syndrome, that voice in your head that tells you, you know, maybe you're not able to do it. Yeah. I think it was Ali as well mentioned that.
She did at the end.
I'm her biggest fan today, but I think she mentioned that as well. So maybe it is. Maybe we have the imposter syndrome telling us, no, we can't go for that role, or we shouldn't, or we won't
I think it was a Harvard based study that, you know, there are 10 criteria for a job. A man will look at it and go, like, I've three of them.
I'm first. Yeah.
Whereas a woman would say, well, I don't fulfill all criteria.
All 10. Yeah. That's
and
true.
I've heard that. The famous Kevin Backhurst, he gave a talk to Women on Air a couple of years ago in his previous role in the newsroom. And he said, we can't get women to go on the radio or on TV shows, because he said, we'll have an expert, we'll have done our research, and we'll go out and or pick up the phone and ask them to come on and be their expert. And they will say, well, I need to get childcare, or I need to get my hair done, and maybe I'm not expert enough, you should ask my colleague, Joseph, Tom, whatever.
Absolutely.
And he'd say, no, well, we've picked you because we want you. Yeah. And then he said, if I pick up the phone and ask a man to come on, he'll say, sure, what time do you want me there? No questions.
I know.
And by the way, what are we talking about?
Exactly. Yeah.
Whereas women will over-research and, be really well prepared.
And that's maybe to our detriment as well, because once you over-prepare, you have thought of every eventuality, and to going with the flow then is out the window. You can't really feel you can go with the flow if you've prepared way too much, and I have to get this said and I have to get that said, as opposed to just going with the conversation on whatever it is about. Because if you're asked to go on,
to say everything.
Yeah, if you're asked to go on, you're asked to go on for a reason, and you know what you're talking
about. Another thing that came up today, which I loved, was stigma. And stigma for women who are successful and who, when they progress, you know, in life. And I've seen that just coming from a very rural, small community, I think, as well. You know, you'd always be kind of embarrassed and you'd want to hide your success and not really, because you'd be seen to be boasting. And who does she even think she is? And I think that's still very much there with women. And the worst part of that for me is that those around us should be building us up and supporting and being our allies. That's what we need to be for each other. And that's what we're trying to create here in UCC is allies, men and women, not just each other, but like everybody, to support and build each other up, because it's not to anyone's detriment, it's to everybody's gain.
What would you say,
allyship? I think our male ally today, the brave man Tom, the only male speaker on the panel.
Tom Halloran from Leia.
Absolutely excellent
fantastic
speaker.
Fantastic. And I really liked how he opened on acknowledging the generations beforehand and his mother and grandmother and, you know, realising we are lucky, we have come a long way. There's a lot more work to be done, but we have to
I mean, they walked so we can run, so to speak. Yeah. Like, and his mother had 8 children, did she say? Yes. Did he say? Yeah.
Because you can be a leader in your own family.
Absolutely.
Influence in your own family.
And I loved how you said, you know, when you were preparing for today, Angie, that he was the only one amongst all the speakers that you met that brought up periods and menopause.
Within the first two sentences.
Why are we still so shy and afraid to talk about it more openly, you know?
Actually, when you think about it, women's bodies are amazing. Not only can we go through things like periods, endometriosis, menopause, heavy periods, the whole thing, and produce a whole human being or several human beings.
Yeah.
By yourself, they're phenomenal, really,
amazing.
Women, aren't they?
Yeah, I know. Yeah. We really are. We are fantastic.
I mean, they talk about us being the fairer sex, but to be honest, I think we're the stronger sex. You know, okay, you know, maybe not as strong insofar as we think of men being strong, but we are very, very strong to be
and
able
Roberta
to do all that.
Referred to Katie Taylor. Well, and Kelly as well, just
very
being
strong women.
Physically strong. to be able to do what they do. So we're going to wrap it up soon, but maybe just a few thoughts from each of you. I can start with you, Cliona. What are your pearls of wisdom? What would you share with us?
Well, I was thinking about this, and for God's sake, I'd probably go on forever with pearls of wisdom, but I'll try and keep it to three and be concise. The body says no. You know Gabor Maté, I don't know if you've read any of his stuff, but when the body says no, we have to listen. I think as women, you know, we do try to do everything and carry the mental load and more, and try and be everything for everybody. And sometimes you've got to listen to the body. And, you know, I think a lot of women go through periods in their life where if they don't listen to their body, they're going to suffer really much in the long term. So I love what Gabor Maté talks about. When the body says no, you know, you've got to listen. So that would be the first one. Second one I was thinking about was understanding who you are as a person, as a personality type, as, you know, that self-awareness piece, because quite often we're completely oblivious to our own bias, you know, in life, how our upbringing is influencing so many of the decisions that we're making, how society is, how then just our natural kind of traits, you know, whether it's sensitivity or whether it's, you know, you're more scientifically minded or whatever it might be. Just having an awareness of that will complement, I think, all that you do in life. Then the last one I had was just eat more chocolate.
I love it.
Eat the chocolate. Eat the chocolate, you know, like life is short.
Yeah, you remind me of something. I have two girls and one boy, and poor chap, he's in the middle, he's a dote. But he never had any problems talking about periods because he was always dispatched to get various different things. Like, I need a hot water bottle.
Oh, sure, come
I
here.
Need more
Earlier
chocolate.
This week, my husband was away and I was due having the PMS or whatever you'd call it. And I said to the kids, we're breaking Lent. We can all go into the shop, pick whatever Easter egg you want. We're all breaking Lent. And they were delighted.
Benefits of it all.
And you know what? They'll remember that. They'll remember that.
Absolutely. They're great. Emma, tell me, what are your pearls of wisdom?
I think both in professional life and personal life, for me, it's really important to remember to step back, to kind of create space to just step back and think, see the wood from the trees, and maybe pause and see where you are. It fits in a lot to what Cliona said as well, both, but you know, figuring out who you are, what your preferences are, but also reminding yourself what you are doing and how does that align to your own values. And that can be hard when we're all go, you know, on the home front and work. And so just creating space, blocking out time and not feeling guilty about it. Maybe that's the hardest part. That's really my main thing that kind of interlinks with.
It's funny what you're saying there about the whole reflective practice. There was a woman who spoke, I think her name was Claire from LinkedIn, and she spoke at an event about women and their careers. And she said, you know, when you come up to your performance review or you're going for a promotion, you have to talk about how you performed in a particular situation. She said, if you keep a diary and just take 5 minutes every week and just write down all I did this week. What was the problem? How did I measure up? And what did I achieve? She said, you do that. And even if you only remember to do it every now and again, that's your preparation for your interview.
Yeah,
it's great. Reflective practice is supposed to be a great educational tool.
Yeah. And what worked, what didn't work, and you know.
Because we learn from mistakes just as much.
UCC, everything gets aligned to competencies. So trying to get into the habit of saying, what did we do that aligns with which competency for the next interview?
Feeds into the strategic plan.
So Leanne Burke, what are your pearls of wisdom you'd like to share with us?
Well, I suppose I was just thinking there when you were asking Cliona, my daughter is 9, coming up 10, so it's a tough age for a little girl, you know, and especially in this day and age and social media and all the rest. And the things I tell her, just be herself, because, well, I've heard this before, everyone else is taken, you know, but be yourself, Alma. And also, don't be embarrassed about what you're into, like in your personal life, you know, what your hobbies, your interests, just you like what you like, and that's it.
Yeah.
We did this at one of the Aurora training sessions. I think it was the first one, and it was about who am I, or finding your voice or something. It was voice and vision and something, and who am I? And you had to write down 20 things about who you were. And I thought, what am I going to write? I thought, and I started writing, I'm this and I'm that, and then I said, and I'm from Tipperary. And lecturing here, I've often kind of hidden my accent. And then I thought, why am I doing that? Why am I doing that? Going in and being somebody false, you know? Yeah. So from then on, I kind of said, well, and how are ye? And I try and bring it out a bit more. Yeah. And I just think, just be yourself and don't be embarrassed about it. The things that you like, the music you like, the songs, the cheesy tunes, whatever it is, just you like it and that's it. And I think these things make us happy. And I know that's not a very, you know, work-related answer or an academic answer, but these are the kind of things I tell my daughter, and that you are enough. You know, I tell her that, you know, you are enough. You know, you're enough just as you are. You don't have to do any more, do any less. What you are is enough. And they're my three things.
Love it.
Yeah, they're my three things. Yeah.
Brilliant. Now, you mentioned music there, so I'm going to come back and ask you all, what's your favourite go-to piece of music, either when you're a bit down or you're going to give yourself a lift or something like that? Cliona, do you like music?
Oh, yeah, I love music. I'm very lucky to have two fathers, and both of them are musicians. My mother was a real groupie. And so we grew up surrounded by fabulous music always. But actually, what I was most inspired by as a teenager was the Cranberries. And I used to play it on my tape, record it every night, Zombie. So that's my song, Zombie, by the Cranberries, go-to song. But it's so much my go-to song that all my kids know the words and they love it. And last year, my son, he was 12 at the time, learned it on the piano to play it at his Christmas recital. And I was just like, it was honestly one of the most romantic things anyone has ever done. And he can play Zombie on the piano, and it is just means everything to me. Yeah.
Amazing. Emma, what's your go-to song?
I find it so hard to pick one song.
But
my middle, I have three girls at home, and the middle girl recently learned to play Zombie on guitar. And I was delighted to hear you, Angie, earlier reference the amazing Sinead, who I would have grown up listening to too, and had a little shrine to her in my house last summer. But I also think it's really important to support the living artists, and I really try to go to any live music. And lucky enough, living West Cork direction, there recently was an abandoned Bridget's Festival, which celebrated creativity of musicians and artists of all types. And there were some amazing young female singer-songwriters there, Asha Egan-McCutcheon and Polly Barrett. And I think it's great to hear these young voices coming out too.
So any particular song?
And if I may, going back to the kind of male allyship, I've also been really lucky to have music in the family. And one of my brothers, Niall, is a singer-songwriter. And he does a lot of work too, which is very relevant to today, International Women's Day, with the woman's voice. And going back to, he has a song, James Connolly, told from the perspective of the wife and the daughter, Nora and Lily. And I think, hearing the different voices, different perspectives through art is really powerful as well.
Excellent.
That's way more than one, but
it's all good stuff. Leanne, what's your go-to song?
My go-to group or band has always been, since I was a very young teenager, the Beatles. Absolutely love the Beatles, and my kids know all the Beatles songs as well. And when we were young, we'd say, you know, I'd say, come on, hold my hand, and I want to hold your hand, and all this. I love Something in the Way She Moves, that song. I love that.
Such a sexy song, isn't
it's
it?
Beautiful. It's absolutely beautiful. It's a beautiful song. I would listen to any Beatles song anytime. Day or night, I love them. So that's my go-to band.
The environment. We talked an awful lot today about sustainability, also sustainability of women's careers. But in terms of the environment, Cliona, what do you do every day to improve sustainability? Do you recycle? Do you buy?
Oh, God, I recycle. And it's funny because just speaking about the male allies and things like that, I recycle not only for the environment, but out of fear of my husband. because he leads the way in the recycling. Yeah. And all of us are a little bit paranoid in the house now. God, am I putting it into the right bin in case Dennis goes, oh, who put that in there? You know, so definitely, I think, I think more and more people recycle. Like, I think it's a very normal thing nowadays. And also, one thing to mention that's not only beneficial for the environment, but also for, I think, women and families is working from home, because, you know, you're not commuting as much. I live in Balvorney on the Cork-Kerry border, and it's a good hour, you know, into UCC every day. So this working from home policy is not only fantastic for me as a mother, it is also really important for
you
the environment.
You spend more time at work because you're not commuting for 2 hours.
And I love when I'm at work. Like, I just make, like in UCC on campus, I just soak it up more, and I'm so grateful for our beautiful campus. Whereas if I was in here like physically 5 days a week commuting from home, I could maybe resent it a little bit because of just the exhaustion of that commute and the strain that it puts on everybody. So I think the benefits are the environment, the family, mental health, every which way.
Yeah, what are you doing for the environment?
Share the commute journey to that experience. I think as well that brings the appreciation. I never imagined that an office space could feel like a zen moment. I was like, oh, I only have this desk rather than everything else going on in the background. But I think really small things too, and reminding the next generation as well that, you know, doing little things like getting the eco washing up liquid and getting the big thing that you fill up the little thing with. Okay, on the scheme of things, it might be a tiny step, but yeah, less plastic. And of course, really proud of UCC of being plastic free, and there were no single use plastic. To the point that I now feel if I'm sometimes elsewhere and get a bottle of water and come back on campus, I feel like I'm committing a crime. Yeah. It's like I'm, smoking, walking through campus or something. I'm like hiding my plastic bottle.
But it's also in the culture. I walked, had a look in the beautiful Honan Chapel, and I couldn't get over the mosaic on the floor.
Yeah.
It's stunning. Yeah. And of the fish and the birds. And I don't know whether there's an elephant or what at the beginning. Yeah. I couldn't figure out what
it's
the fish
really star signs at the start.
It's really, really unusual. Yeah,
I know. Absolutely,
it's an amazing, celebration of Celtic art and Irish tradition. You know, just at a time of Celtic revival when we were feeling proud of ourselves. And there's a beautiful Harry Clark woman there too.
Niamh Gubnet is actually our local patron saint in Balvorney and Coolay and in that area. And one of my best friends is called Gubnet. I was only talking to her with the ladies earlier because she's also an inspiration. We're just talking about inspirational female leaders in our life that, just make a difference in those little ways that we were telling you. But Niamh Gubnet is a beautiful Harry Clark window in the Honan Chapel.
Tell us the story.
And it fits in with sustainability too, because she's got honeycomb. The picture of her in the window is her holding honeycomb.
Yeah, she was the patron saint of bees.
And tell me about the deer.
So the story goes that Niamh Gubnet travelled from Connemara, and her kind of plan was as soon as she would see 9 white deer, that would be the community that she would settle in and build this monastery. And it was all about empowering sporting women, but protecting the community as well. She knew that that was her calling. So she travelled all the ways around Kerry, and she saw, I think, 4 white deer. And then she came as far as Clondrohid, and I think she saw 6 white deer. And it wasn't until she came into Balvorney that she saw the 9 white deer. And that's where she built her settlement and her monastery in our local community, and fought off all the thieves using the bees. And it's just this incredible warrior woman, you know?
Yeah, it's a bit like Bridget as well, just even having that in our lore and being able to draw on it now. Yeah. You know, I think it'll be an Irish Women's Day from now on.
Yeah,
St. Bridget's Day.
It is.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's what happened in Bandon with this festival that I referenced earlier.
Yeah, and they have breed another amazing.
And there's a brewery now with the white deer,
yes,
isn't there?
Yeah, we have a local brewery in our village called 9 White Deer. Yeah, they have stag beer and yeah, it's fab. Yeah.
Did I go around everybody about what you're doing for the environment? No?
Leanne?
Well, I suppose much like me listening to the Beatles when I was 13 or 14, I have been shopping in charity shops for my whole life, way before it ever became a thing to do shop in charity shops. And I'm trying to get my daughter now into, and we've bought several things. So I would do that on a regular basis, and I love it. And it's reducing, reusing, recycling. It's supporting good causes. It's everything.
It makes so much sense.
Yeah, I love it. Yeah. Absolutely love it. And I come home from town and Brendan says, "What have you got? What have I not got?"
I know, yeah.
But look, it's, I love it. Yeah.
It's none of your business.
Yeah, exactly.
In our house, it's the other way around. And I try to have Paul barred from certain charity shops because he comes back with so much stuff.
So much stuff.
Brilliant.
Emma, did I ask you about what you're doing for the environment already?
The little things I've mentioned, trying to get the kids to refill plastic and... also the charity shops, maybe on like big items as well. Like a lot of our furniture came from, and it's, you know, way better than IKEA.
And it's way less packaging.
Yeah.
Like if you buy something from a charity shop, it's already made for you. Yeah. Like, a piece of furniture, there's no packaging.
No boxes. Yeah. Boxes. Yeah, yeah. Okay, final last question. I give you all a magic wand. What would you do to make the world a better place for younger women?
Oh, wow. Cleaner. That's a great question.
Yeah.
Take the pressure off. Yeah, take the pressure off women. I think we feel just far too much pressure. Just like to lift that pressure off them.
And we take it on as well.
Yeah.
Emma?
I think scaffold them with all the amazing information we have gathered that we've heard today and other similar events. Let them go out into the world, be that wrong a three, wrong a cuig, or wherever you are in your stage of your education or career, knowing that there is a gender gap, there is a real need for more female leaders, and hope that they can have the chats in their own circles about that.
Yeah, terrific.
Leanne. A magic wand.
A magic wand. I mean, maybe it's to do with the mobile phones, but I mean, look, I say to my kids, look, I grew up free because we didn't have mobiles until I was 21. So I had a freedom growing up, and I see my kids not having this freedom, and my daughter, and I would love if she had freedom to actually kind of wear things twice, you know, freedom to not wear makeup, freedom to actually say things that maybe aren't exactly right, but that they learn from. Mm-hmm. And that not everything that they do is recorded and filmed, and any mistake that they make, any boy that they might kiss that they shouldn't have kissed at the teenage disco, what of it?
Yeah.
Who cares? I would love her to be free of that. And I would love my son to be free of that as well, to just be relaxed. Yeah, I just don't think they are. I think they don't know it because they don't. They've never known otherwise.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I would love them to be free, and I don't think they will be.
Great wishes and great pearls of wisdom and great contribution. Thank you all, Emma Connolly, Cliona O'Callaghan, and Leanne Burke. It was a great conversation. I really appreciate you being on the Women in Leadership podcast.
Angie, thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Really enjoyed
thank
it.
Thanks a million.
An honour.
Well, my thanks to the podcast guests there, Cliona O'Callaghan and Emma Connolly, co-chairs of Manaw UCC. Also featured was Leanne Burke, their treasurer. That podcast was recorded on Friday after the Why the World Needs More Women in Leadership event in the Dora Allman Hall in the hub of UCC. It was sponsored by the Dutch Embassy and was an initiative of DIBA, the Dutch Irish Business Association, driven by Mark Bergauer and Linda Nugent, who assembled an amazing panel and also organised for Her Excellency Maaike van Koldam, Ambassador of the Kingdom of the Netherlands, to attend and address the event. The guests on the panel at the event in UCC were Commander Roberta O'Brien of the Irish Navy, so impressive, Orla Joyce from Heineken, a good Dutch company, where Orla is head of legal and she's a fierce advocate of diversity and inclusion. Also on the panel was Tom O'Halloran, diversity and inclusion specialist with Laya Healthcare in Cork, a proud advocate of women in leadership. And last but not least was Students' Union Education Officer Ali O'Mahony, who was an inspiring young woman leader in her own right, with a lot to say. In his opening address, Professor John O'Halloran, UCC President, pledged his support for Manaw UCC. He also remembered the proud contributions of previous generations of UCC women, including Dr. Dora Allman, who was a medical graduate. He also talked about the recent conferring of honorary graduate Dr. Catalin Carrico, originally from Hungary but now in the USA, who did groundbreaking work on messenger RNA. Please get in touch with us if you would like to contribute to the debate. Our email is info@womeninleadership.ie, and you can also get in touch with us on the website womeninleadership.ie. Please like and share this podcast wherever you get your podcasts. We're also on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, on Spotify and a few others, and also the website. Until the next time, goodbye from me, Angie Mazzetti, and all on the Women in Leadership podcast.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.